Who of you were not here this morning? Okay, cool. Now I just know where to start. This morning, when we took up the offering, one of the things I said out of Malachi is warfare through giving. I don't know if, Sean, can you just put up warfare through giving there quickly? And I just want to point that out to you because there's a principle of giving that is just so important, I believe, in the gospel, in all that we do for the Lord. You see, we come there, the emphases, you can read the rest, but the emphases I wanted to bring out this morning and I want to bring out to you again, that in your giving, the Lord says in Malachi that I will rebuke the devourer for you. And we know who the devourer is. Is the devil, and he will rebuke the devourer and all your circumstances or wherever you find yourself. I will protect your source of income. I will stop the thief from destroying the fruit of your ground. The fruit of your labors, the vine of your field will not fail and bear fruit, says the Lord God Almighty. Now that's the Old Testament, and when we pass that through Calvary and we come into the New Testament, we have a new set, I don't want to say rules, we have a new life. We have kingdom life. And kingdom life says, and what God says in the Word, and what Paul said in people like this, that God loves a giver whose heart is in his giving. And you know, the whole thing about our faith is heart to heart with the Father. And this is what it's all about. And you know, we see the principles in the Word of God. We see the principles coming from the Old Testament. We know that the Old Testament, the New Testament was hidden in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And here's a principle that you can live by. Here's a principle that you can trust God. This is spiritual warfare. Those of you that are here this morning, I emphasize it's in your own heart where the spiritual warfare needs to happen. You need to come to rest in peace where you are in the circumstances that you find yourself in. And sometimes the circumstances aren't so lekker. But if you go into the New Testament, you see how Paul and all these guys, what they went through and everything, and they just rejoiced. We saw the Christian thrown to the lions. They might say, well, if the lion's hungry, I'll feed the lion, and they'd come, take me. They knew where they were going. They knew there was a better place. And for those guys, and please, you can throw rocks, I'm here to stir up your thinking. If you believe the rapture is going to happen, I just doubt that very much. I believe the Lord is not into genocide. If there's an aeroplane up there and the pilot is a Christian and gets raptured, the aeroplane goes down and crashes. I don't see that as the Father heart of God. Now, why am I going there? We're talking about giving. Yeah. I don't think he will do that. I mean, he has given us life and life more abundantly. And that's the Zoe life. When I went up to Rwanda now, and I'll speak about that now, when I went to Rwanda, the commission from the Holy Spirit, he gave it to me in Portugal a year ago. The Lord sat before me and said, I need to go to Rwanda and I need to take life into Rwanda. And the life is the life of God. And in that life is everything we need. Right now, this evening, is we need to slot into that life. And I'm not making excuses for those that were here this morning, but I emphasize quite a bit. And I emphasize it again this evening, guys. That's where the life is. We look everywhere else, but that's where we find it. When we look at all these concepts that people are throwing out there, and we look at the Father heart of God, and that's why I threw in the thing about the rapture. You know, I see heaven. I mean, I see the word where the Lord says, we're going to rule and reign with him. Who believes that word? We're going to rule and reign with him. We rule and reign with him now. That's what kingdom dynamics is all about. We're ruling and reigning now. We rule and reign in our own hearts. We come to peace and rest. And when we come to peace and rest with him and we settle with him, we allow him to take full control. I always say to people, you touch Father's heart, you got the answer to your problem. Don't look at all these things. You know, there's so many voices out there that are shouting for our attention. You know, just turn on the TV and all this. You know, one thing I wish I could stay here and speak to you about attitude, how important our attitude is at this time as we are rushing to the end times. As we look at the news, look at Israel right now. There's a big, big fight over there. Huh? And it's not stopping, guys. It's going to get worse. I'll give it to you in writing. It's going to get worse. But that's not something we have to fear. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we come to peace and as we come to rest where we are, We're able to deal with these things. And when we look at these things, we know what our commission is. Our commission is to go out and to be example of God's love and His mercy and His compassion. For God so loved the world that He gave. And that's why I wanted to bring out that giving. You know, it starts in the little things. You know, you touch my money, you're touching me, as I said. And that's where it counts. I mean, how serious are you about serving God? How serious are you about doing? And I'm not here to put condemnation and try and put a heavy on you. That's not what it's about, people. It's finding the Father heart of God. Seeing your identity in Christ and Christ alone. Seeing your identity in the Father and all that He has for you. Before the creation of the world, He saw us sitting here together. Before the creation of the world, He made you perfect and whole. I mean, that revelation in Ephesians 1 is so powerful. For God so gave, He gave us the world. But our slewfoot came in and he corrupted the whole issue. But you know, we've got authority over him. And you know, we're going to rule and reign on this earth. Some oaks have got this thing, I'm going to get my little cloud and my little harp and I'm going to float around heaven. And sing little songs and everything. No. Ruling and reigning is hard work. Ruling and reigning is picking up with the Lord. When this new earth and this new heaven comes, you might be in charge of a city, ruling and reigning with the King. But it's going to be ruling and reigning with pleasure because He gave us this and said, guys, it's yours. You take control. You take authority. You enforce what I have said. Now we come here, we hear this week in and week out. And then we get weak in the knees when we see everything happening out there. Guys, we need to start believing in this Almighty God by me just taking a step of faith and saying, God, yes, I open up my life. He comes in, voila, into my heart. And what does, when we look at the Paracletos in John 14, Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I'll give you another helper with the same spirit as I, and he will come and he will lead you and he will guide you into all truth and he will comfort you. And when I see that comfort, I see him putting that blanket around us, like a blanket around us. Every time I wake up, I say, oh, Holy Spirit. Sorry. Holy surname Spirit. Okay. Okay. He puts that blanket over you. Guys, you know, God's given us imagination. I've got a wild imagination. Yeah. And I see myself in that blanket ruling and reigning, going out into the valleys that I still love. Why must the Lord destroy everything that I love? Yeah, okay. He's going to revitalize it as He revitalizes your heart. For God so gave. And we come to the Father in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where it counts. That's where the tire bites the tar. That's where we are. Christianity 101, I believe, is right there. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders? It happens in your own heart as you meet with Him. And Anne and I can testify of a daily walk. And I want to say this because so many Christians think, oh, well, what else? Just have to say one thing is going to happen. Guys, you got to learn. You've got to learn in this walk. You know, it's one step at a time. One step at a time. Word upon word, line upon line, glory upon glory, faith upon faith. And as you count your blessings, and as you count your victory today is equipping you for a victory tomorrow. Huh? And we saw that with David. He went and he fought the lion, he fought the bear and all sorts of other funny things. And he said, this oak, man, he's a piece of old tacky, I'll take him out in no time. That's how we should be looking at the world where we are right now. We have a message of His grace and His mercy and His compassion and His love that just flows from heaven and flows from heaven. I mean, there's no demon that can come anywhere near that stuff. Hey? And we just need to take on because He gave. And I just saw the table sitting there. You know, the whole thing about the gospel, the complete work of what Christ has done is something we must take hold of and put it into our hearts. And as He starts taking out, as we start counting the blessings, it equips us for further work and to go out and do what He wants. For God so gave. And it starts in the little physical things sometimes we need to do. And then God goes out. We need to believe that. I believe that. I believe God protects me. I don't ask any man for anything. I ask God. You know, somebody came to me today and see if they're here. Okay. And, you know, they were going to do this and going to do this and going to go here and going to go there. And I said, excuse me, if I can counsel you, if I can just give you one thing that you need to do, the only thing you need to do is go and sit on Father's knee, lean upon his chest and hear his heartbeat. And when you hear him say, go this way, then you go. Because I'm telling you now, you do it out of your own strength. I'll give it to you in writing. It's going to catch you. Is going to catch you. But when you do it with him, as you're led by him, and that doesn't mean to say I've got it all together. Guys, we all fighting the fight of faith. Every single day we're walking the walk. Every single day, there's our brother who arrived home and they tried to, the demons tried to take him out there. There's no other demons. Hey? But you know, at the same time, we mustn't forget the word in Ephesians 6 that we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and high places. There's a principality that rules over Pine Town. As soon as I leave Pine Town, the Holy Spirit visits me in a special way. And I always joke with people, well, I'm away from my Pine Town demons that are after me. Now, we might joke about that, and you might think, well, it's not faith. That is a fact. There are ruling forces around us all the time, and they're trying to do their thing. But the ruling force in my heart is Jesus Christ, is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is stronger than anything out there. Greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world. And you see, these are the sort of scriptures, and these are the sort of things we hear so often, but these are the sort of things we need to move into. And as I said to you, the prophetic office is not here to teach you today. The prophetic is here to try and connect you to these things, to connect your feet onto the earth and to make connection with these things and realize it comes from a heart to heart with him. And as he speaks to you heart to heart, it'll flow into your circumstances, flow into everything else that needs to be happening around you. Does that sound okay? Thank you. Let's have that picture of Rwanda, because a lot of people didn't see that this morning. I've got, according to everybody, I've got 5 or 10 minutes. If you've got to go at 7 o'clock, can I say to you, you're welcome to go. What I've got to say, it might take a little bit longer. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. You're not going to clap me if I go over? You're still going to love me? Thank you so much. Rwanda, Kigali, Bishop Jean and his good wife Christine, there I am, she interpreted for me. What an anointing in that place. What a lovely time. It was like a fulfillment of what God told me a year ago about taking in his life into that situation. The front of the church is on the left top there, a sort of view of Kigali, and then on the left some of the congregation, and then the bottom there is Pastor Weston and the bishop. He's the bishop of the Assemblies of God. He's got 130 churches that relate to him. He lost 3/4 of his congregation in the genocide in Rwanda. Some of the churches underneath him were 1 or 2 churches that totally exterminated from pastor to people to buildings to everything. Nothing has ever been found. And there we were standing on part of the grave. It still goes on this side of 250,000 people that have been buried there. They don't know who they are. And you know, we put a rose down there and we just went there. It's awesome. It's awesome and it's gruesome at the same time. But one of the things what the Lord showed me in this thing is how the law brings death. You know, years ago, 1913, the revival in Eastern Africa started in Rwanda. And I can understand why they've had this amazing, well, a major attack on them. And, they were 95% Christian in that country. And it was literally Christian killing Christian. It was a group of Christians saying, listen, we are thus, but you are cockroaches. And therefore, you rubbish, and you don't count at all in the kingdom. And those guys went and killed those guys, and those are the graves that are lying there. God, what you are seeing is the ultimate result of the law. We saw that in the Second World War. We saw that what Hitler did. You know, we okay, Jack, you're not okay, so we can exterminate. We have a right to do it. And immediately we start doing that. Immediately we start doing things like that, then love just goes out the window. And no Christian who is born again, full with the Holy Spirit, who is preaching grace and moving in the love and the mercy and compassion of God can do that. I defy anybody to tell you that. It cannot be of God that. We know it's of the devil. But you know, there's a lesson in all this. There's a lesson in our own lives that we need to take hold of our own hearts, and we need to make sure. How often today didn't you turn around and say something negative about somebody else? Where Jesus said, when the disciples came to him and he said, hey man, these dudes on the other side, they're casting out demons in my name. They're doing this, they're healing the sick. He said, what's that to you? You come follow me. Huh? And not that you're an exclusive group or anything. There are other Christians out there too. There are other dudes out there too. There are Christians here. How many times haven't we criticized everybody around? I spoke about attitude. Attitude is so, so important. If I had to come in here with any sort of attitude to come and preach to you, what are you going to get? Come on, guys. What are you going to get? It's a mumps and measles. If I've got measles and come and preach and mumps, what are you going to get? Measles. And this is the whole thing about the church. This is what we got to watch out for with the law and grace, and how easy it is to criticize and point fingers to other people. One of the things, research was done many years ago by all the professors in the hospitals in America, and they found somebody with a positive attitude affected people in a 12-meter radius. So as James is sitting here, walk out 12 meters, let's say 6 meters. Let's say 6 meters. So wherever James is, because he's a born-again, spirit-filled, wow Christian, somebody's been affected by his presence. But in the same way, if you have a negative spirit, that same thing happens as well, and people are affected out there. So you see how important it is to slot ourselves in to what the Lord wants, and to come to rest and peace. How often I've preached that message. I preach it in Kenya. I preach it in India. I preach it wherever I go. Guys, bring your heart to rest. Create the right atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. Create the right atmosphere for His grace to flow through you and to touch everybody around you. That's all I ask that I need to be doing. He doesn't give us something we cannot do. And you know, just by our smile, I just go into the office, that girl smile, when she smiles at me every time I go in there, bowls me over. Because as I walk in, I know right in the beginning, before I get there, she's smiling. Huh? Because that's her heart. You hear what I'm trying to say in this? And we need to get back to this Christianity 101. We need to allow God to build all these things in. So that's just a picture. I'm using that to illustrate a point here. This evening and this morning. Can we just go to the next one? And we're going to do that. Woo. Next slide. Slide it, mate. Life is only found in one place. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. It's nice to see that scripture again. Darkness has not overcome the light. No matter what you think, no matter what the world says, no matter what you hear out there, darkness has not overcome the light. We see all these things happening around us, and we think, hey man, where's this ever going to happen? Where's God going to move? He's moving in your heart. I've moved right over Africa. I go into India. I go all over the show. And wherever I go, I see God's called out ones. I see the light of God out there. I see the people that are moving there. You know, the testimonies of what God is doing amongst the Muslims in Africa is phenomenal. He's doing it despite us. Yeah. Huh? He visited a mullah up in North Africa. The Jesus himself came and woke him up 3 times. The first time he said, Jesus woke him up and said, why are you persecuting me? And he turned around and said, well, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And being a typical Muslim, he said, well, God doesn't have a son. And Jesus went. He came back again. The same story. The third time, the Lord came to him and says, I am the Son of God. See the nail prints in my arms. Come and feel in my chest. He said, yes, you are the Lord. And he bowed before him, and Jesus led him to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The result is that guy's got 1,000 mosques and stuff underneath him. He's already starting to minister into them. He's giving into it as God gives, because God sees the heart, and God knows how much you are crying out this evening for more of Him and for more of what needs to happen. You young people, you've got a road ahead of you. Don't fear. Just take on a relationship with Him. Let Him guide you. Let Him take you. Let Him take you into all those things. He gives you the desires of your heart. And He's busy doing that all the time. And light shines in darkness. Let your light shine. It'll push the darkness away. And I've seen that. You know, this morning I shared with the people here about what happened in Isekeweni. And I think I'll just share that testimony. where in Des Moines, we had to take so much stuff out to the people who had nothing. We prepared 300 packs of food and clothing and pots and pans. We took it out to Isikweni, and there were 3,000 to 4,000 people there. And we actually sat with the problem. And then they overcrowded. They wanted to jump in. People started stealing. And there was this chaos. I just saw, being an old policeman, I just saw a riot in my hands. I didn't have any weapons. And my late wife shouted at me and she said, "Use your authority." And I just heard this, you know, here's people here, and it was just one little place, and I was worried about the ladies and worried about everything. And I turned around and I picked it up and I said, "In Jesus' name," just like that, as simple as that. And it stopped. It just stopped there like they come up against the wall. It was quite uncanny to use that term. And I did it 5 times. I'll never forget, 5 times. I didn't say go back. I said, "In Jesus' name, stop." And they went back themselves. And one thing I forgot to tell you guys this morning, the pastor who was with me, who wanted to try to get over the wall there, turned around and saw this. And he said he actually saw the angels come and just push the people gently back, gently back, gently back. Now, is that because of me? No, 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 no. We took a step of faith and we went out there and we're doing what God had called us to do. And he had shown us to do that. And you know, I've seen food multiplied before. There I saw food multiplied, pots and pans multiplied, excuse my throat's getting a bit funny, and clothing multiplied. So God can multiply anything, as long as we are prepared to go out and to give. And that's not the only time. When I was running the church in Melmoth, we went out there, one of the ladies in the church came to me and said, "Listen, I really feel we need to go to the rubbish dump and we need to go and help the people there." I said, "My girl, I'm right behind you." We went in there, we fed the people at the rubbish dump. We got a little bit of food. When you get there, you think it's only going to be 10, but there's more like 100. And then you're cutting a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread does not stop people. I have seen that, experienced that. God is with us all the time out there in the field. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not only in this atmosphere. This is a lovely atmosphere. Here we're creating the right atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to challenge us and to build stuff into us. So when we leave out that door, that this week we can do what He's called us to do. That's why He's brought us together. That's why we've taken the step of faith to come here this evening. Amen.
Amen.
So, guys, just prepare your hearts. Just prepare your hearts. Just be subtle before the Lord. Just let Him come. Let Him fill you in that sort of way. Can I have the next one, please? My view in Africa, can you go through all those quickly? This is God's place. We're part of it. It's Africa. I believe it's Africa's time now. I spoke about the right attitude. What about all the death and destruction? I spoke about that. We fight not against flesh and blood. And the last thing there is about peace and rest. I mean, well, number three there, I said, we have authority in everything. Use it. You can't sit on your hands, on your blessed assurance, and think it's all going to happen. Get off your blessed assurance. Go out and do what God has called you to do. Speak the word of faith. And start just with the little things. Don't worry about the big things. The big things will look after themselves. God is in the little things. You know, The greatest fun I have with the Lord is Him taking care of the little things. Every day, you know, in my hobby and stuff like that, I see God's hand. I see Him collecting with me. I see Him going with me into situations. Wherever I go, God's given us imagination. I've said that before. Now start using your imagination and go for it. Next one, please, quickly. Daddy is preparing us for action. Somebody asked me about daddy. Daddy is a term a child has when he calls his father. It doesn't decry from the fatherhood of God and what we've been speaking about. But we go to daddy. You know, when I say daddy, help, the whole of heaven arrives. Boy, angels and all. I said to you when I was preaching in Kigali this morning, as I was preaching there, because of what was happening, and I think because of what is happening in the future, all of a sudden, I saw 4 big dudes standing around me. It was a weird experience, but it was real to me. Extremely real to me. And as Anne says, they are car gods. They come, they speak French and they come from Central Africa. But you know, what we're doing, what has been happening all the time, is that we've been exercising those things that God has told us. One of the exercises that we've been doing the last 2 weeks is speaking in tongues. Now, we've all heard about speaking in tongues. Tongues is just so important. You know, the devil, and I give the devil his due, he tried to stop me from going there. I just know it because I had a message. I had a commission from God. He had an inclination what was going to happen. He doesn't know all truth. Hey? But he can see the light over there. He tried to stop, he tried to poison me at the Mug and Bean at Johannesburg Airport. He tried to stop the plane from leaving. We sat in the plane for an hour. They were going to cancel the flight. And I just got down, I said, Lord, and again, it just came into my heart, just praying in tongues. And I just sat there, I didn't shout and scream like other people would, you know, I'm not that sort of person. But you hear what I'm trying to say? I just sat there and I just prayed, and within 5 minutes, the guy came along and said, no, you're going, close the doors, and off we went. And I can give you instance after instance after instance. You can ask Gad. You know, last week and even this week, even my throat, I've been praying in tongues all the last couple of days because I know that he's been trying to close my throat off because I'm coming to tell you and put something into your lap that's going to help you to have victory in your own life and over the circumstances and wherever you are. And that's why I started off with that scripture that by giving, you start God rebuke. That means you don't have to do it. You just do your bit. You just go and give. Go and walk by faith. And as you start walking by faith, he opens the doors. And when the Nunus come and want to chow you, he's got all the angels there to protect you. And those are big dudes. I mean, as I sit here, I've got those four big dudes here. I have this picture now. I'm building this picture up. Guys, they are there. And what does the scripture say? He encamps his angels around them that fear him. And right now, as I said this morning, his angels are here. But we're not after angels. We're after Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he comes along and he encourages us. He comes along and he helps us and guides us. And he shows us what is happening in the spiritual realm. And this is where we need to make contact with him all the time. That's why you need to be in the Word. That's why we need teachers in the church with a fivefold ministry who come and teach you about the Word says about all these things, all the grace teaching. Next year, fantastic stuff we're going to have in this church next year. There are going to be three major sessions of teaching by Andrew Womack. And it's good foundational stuff. And you might say, oh, I'm an old Christian. I don't have to learn again. Well, I said, come here, let me cast out that unteachable spirit. I've been serving the Lord this year for 39 years. I came to the Lord because my daughter was raised from the dead, and I realized God was in it. And every single day to me is a day of learning more and more about my daddy in heaven. And I go to my daddy like a little boy, and that's all I know. You know, one of the things we need to do is to come humbly before God all the time. Humble ourselves, he says, and in due time, he will raise you up. Many people are not prepared to do that. He wants to be greatest in the kingdom, must be prepared to be the least. Hey? Hey, come on, guys. Those are the sort of things we need to live by. These are things he's challenging us with. And he gives us a grace. He doesn't put a heavy on us. He doesn't put a heavy. He leads us step. He guides us. He takes us like a father looking after his little boy. I'm a little boy in his hand, and is a little girl, and together we come. Yeah, we've got all that knowledge and stuff. It's not about the knowledge. It's not about anything. It's about him. You know, he doesn't want what you can do. Listen to me. He doesn't want what you can do. He wants your heart. How's that? He wants your heart. And the challenge is, has he got your heart? I don't know. When I see all the people going like it, he has got your heart. But we need to listen to this. We need to go into this. We need to realize that this is a very, very, very real experience daily with the Lord. Hey? And that doesn't mean to say we say there's nothing, problems don't happen. Problems come. But problems equip you for greater victories. Hey? You got to believe it, guys. And problems aren't the end of the world. You know, Anne's revelation of the Song of Solomon and the foxes that spoil the vine. You've all probably heard, read that many a day. You have this love story, and in the middle of this love story, something totally out of context comes along and says, deal with the little foxes that spoil the vine, and the story carries on. Now, I believe the Lord is saying to us, and with the tongues and with all this sort of thing, as we go about our daily life, what we got to do, we come to the problem, we deal with the problem with the wisdom that God gives us, and we carry on by faith. We don't sit there and harp on it, think about it and all that. When you sit in our country now and you look at the TV and you see all the funny things happening, you know, the Word says we must pray for our government that we might have peace. Peace, guys. When last did you pray for the government? When did you last pray for Zuma? No wonder he's under attack because the Christians aren't praying for him. See, come on. Hey, come on. Let's get down to the bottom line here. We're talking spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare starts in our own hearts. And you know, if we're going to be the answer to the problem, we must make sure that we are walking the line. And that's not to put a heavy on you, guys. It's not about a heavy. It's a coming to daddy sitting on his lap. Like I said to some people, I've gone out in the back stoop and I've made two cups of tea, one for me and one for Jesus. And I put a sugar in the one because I wasn't too sure if he liked sugar in his tea. But after a while it got a bit cold, so I drank it because I know he's got lots of work to do. But why am I saying that to you? I've got to do things like that to remind myself of the reality of who God is. Can you put the last slide on and I'll finish with that? The last slide with the butterflies. I took those shots of those butterflies last week. And I'm putting it here to demonstrate what I'm trying to say to you. I love nature. I grew up in a family that collected all sorts of haws and all sorts of things. And when I see opportunities like this, I take them. But what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing how Dad comes along when I go and take a break away and he gives me the things that bring joy to me. Then I see these things. I say, wow, Lord, I haven't seen one of those swallowtails for a long time. Open your eyes, China. He says they're all around you. You know? But there it was, and both of those butterflies. And then I looked at them, I thought, gee, Dad, you mean you sat down one day, and you actually thought of me. And you saw me walking in the bush last week. And you created this butterfly because you knew that I was going to be there. Does that sound far-fetched? Come on. Hey? Come on. Those are things I enjoy. And you know, right now, if you open your eyes, you will see that God has put things in front of you that you enjoy. You open your eyes. Watch His guidance with all these sort of things. And guys, He is just so great. You know, His heart for us is something I can't illustrate. Can you? It's so great. His love and His mercy is so great, even here tonight. And you know, I said to somebody today, our identity must be in Him and Him alone. Yeah. The second last slide, can you just put up the second last slide on that? And then we'll, gee. Excuse me rushing a bit, I'm very conscious, I don't want to go over my... The purpose why Jesus came. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And the translation, the NIV puts the purpose, he came. But the reason Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil and to destroy the works in your own heart. That's the reason he came. And we just got to open up our lives. And as we open up our lives, he will do it. The tension you have in your life is because you don't want to accept the truth of all the things that he's done. When I say that, the Holy Spirit is there and he's pushing you and the tension comes. Guys, let go and let God. There's some of you sitting here with major financial problems and you're looking here, you're running there, you're running to the bank manager, you're running all over the show. And Dad is saying, here I am, please, I want to give you some wisdom. Yeah. I mean, and we prayed on Saturday morning, she had to go to John Wesley School. She's on the board there, and she was worried. We just got down on our knees together, and we just prayed and said, Lord, your wisdom. When she came back from there, I mean, it was a testimony, hey, Anne, of God just giving her the wisdom and helping and everything. Now, that's just daily life. This is what I'm, daily life, keeping the attitude right, going in there, and now you know why he's come, hey. And that's how we destroy the works of the evil one. This week, as you go into your week, realize why Jesus came. realize that you have an anointing from the Holy One, that you can go to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will take care of you, He will help you, He will guide you into all truth. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. And just think of my story of Kigali. For God's seed abides in him. He cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. You cannot. Amen. Come on, guys. That's what we've been taught. Eh? But this is evident who are children of God. For who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Hey, I love you guys. Eh? Come on. We love each other. And that's why we mustn't point fingers to each other, I said earlier on. But one who doesn't love is from the devil. And we can see that out there. We're not here to judge them. Guy, from the worst sinner, from the worst devil worshipper, to the Muslims, to everything. I see fear in many Christians' hearts when they see where Islam is coming in. The only reason Islam is coming in is because some guys don't want to speak, get up and start practicing what we're talking about here tonight. That's all it is. Now we need to pick up this kind. We need to say, Lord, come on, help us to move into all this. Now guys, I need to end here, otherwise I'm going to be in deep, deep trouble. Huh? I'm in big trouble, huh? Big trouble already. Please don't tell Steve that I went over time. Okay? I won't tell if you don't tell. But let us pray. Let us, worship team, can I have somebody chortling the oral there?